Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome. And he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. And would you pray with me? Lord God, we are grateful for your presence. And we acknowledge our position, our place, our being the body of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, a heart of flesh, a fire in our bones, and we know that comes from you, that it is, in fact, you, your presence in us, Lord. And we long for more. And so we pray the words of Jesus from John 17, "Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Come, Holy Spirit." Come, Holy Spirit. Pray that with me. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, I do offer up prayers of rest, deep gratitude as well for Doug and Gina Baker. May God be with them, bless them as they're away. I'm thankful for Jonathan Becker, our director of student ministries, assisting in worship this morning. And I think the highlight was Archer reading scripture just now. We can go home. That was so good, and it is so good to be with you. Again, my name is Mark Donaldson. I am one of the pastors here. Usually I'm down the hall in core worship, but we love whichever room we are in, Leanne and I do, and so good to be with you. This morning we continue in this season of Lent, which is a period of 40 days, not counting Sunday, before Easter. It's a period where we are remembering and rehearsing the gospel story, and we will do that especially Holy Week, which is fast approaching. So I want to remind you again, Monday, Thursday, down the hall, Heard Worship Center, April 2nd, one of three times that we worship in the evening, one of two times that we worship as one church in the whole year. This is our story. Monday, Thursday, we'll be in the upper room of Heard Worship Center, and I hope you come, 6 p.m. But we are in the midst of a sermon series that is inspired by this book called the Jesus Storybook Bible. The subtitle says, "Where Every Story Whispers His Name." And of course, they're talking about Jesus reading through the Old Testament Every story whispers his name. 2 weeks ago, we were in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, and we talked about a son whose life was spared, Isaac. But another son was coming whose life would not be spared. It was sacrificed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Last week, we were in the book of Joshua. We talked about a leader of that same name, Joshua, who led people into the promised land, God's people. But there would one day come another leader to lead God's people into God's presence. That's more than the promised land. He is in us because of Jesus' death, resurrection, ascension. This morning, we're talking about a young leader, a young hero named David. And Archer read his story to us, a part of his story, just a minute ago. Before we get into that, years ago, the coach of the Sacramento Kings, the owner of the Sacramento Kings, coached his 12-year-old daughter's junior league basketball team, and his name was Vivek Ranadive, an engineer by trade. He grew up playing cricket and soccer in India, but had fallen in love with the game of basketball. And the girls on his team, mostly new to the sport, and he had patience with them. Their greatest weakness wasn't ability or chemistry, it was experience. And as he was coaching, he made two very quick decisions. First, he said, "I will never raise my voice at these girls because they're 12 years old and they've never played before." And the second thing he decided was defense. We're going to emphasize defense on this junior league basketball team. When Ranadive was first introduced to this game of basketball, he was amazed, soccer player that he was, at the lack of, or seemingly lack of, defense. One team would score and immediately run down 94 feet the other end of the court and wait for the other team to inbound the ball, dribble the length of the court, and then shoot a layup. Uncontested, that first team was patiently waiting, then the process would repeat itself all over again, and he wondered, where is the defense? Almost at every level, where is the defense, and why is it confined to one end of the court time after time, possession after possession? So he instituted a full court press, which didn't require that much experience to apply pressure. Most teams do that late in the game or when things are really tight. Ranadive ran it the entire game, and it worked. The coaches that he faced, they were shocked. How were they losing to such an inexperienced team? Because Ranadive understood his team's weakness, and he turned it into an advantage. He went outside the norm and exploited what everyone else overlooked. And sometimes that is exactly how God works. God loves to win his battles in ways that no one expects. David took on Goliath and won. And we read a part of that story in 1 Samuel 17, which is no small footnote. It is the longest single battle narrative in 1 and 2 Samuel. Contains more dialogue than any other story in the book. In fact, the longest speech comes from the lips of a Philistine, Goliath himself. The writer wants us to slow your roll just a bit. Take all of it in, see what's happening, feel it. This battle that was brewing between the Philistines and the Israelites, and it was the stuff that Braveheart was made of. Two opposing armies on opposite sides of the hill. I mean, they are facing off, and there is this battle, this valley in between them. The leader of the Israelites was Saul. And he looked every bit the part, tall, dark, handsome. But when things got tough, he hid behind his armor hid even amongst the baggage way back when his call began. He reacted instead of responding almost every single time. He was no leader at all. The leader of the Philistines. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. Goliath was his name, nearly 10 feet tall. As a kid, when they were playing basketball on the blacktop, you know, he was always picked first, this giant. His armor that he wore made him look like something right out of Marvel Universe. And the way he taunted Israel, I can imagine him up there on the top of that valley, caps on his teeth or maybe even one missing, just taunting, harassing his opponent, hurling insults across the valley. For 40 days, morning and evening, he mocked the servants of Saul, defied the armies of Israel. And Israel was dismayed and afraid, not holy fear or reverence, sheer terror. And they would run, collective pit in their stomach, brewing for over a month. 40 days of silence, 40 days of fear. Then David came onto the scene. And we first met him in 1 Samuel chapter 16, this young, redheaded, youngest of seven brothers, six brothers. Chapter 16, he'd already been anointed king because God didn't consider stature, size, age, maturity, looked at the heart, which says something about David. And it actually says something about Saul, who was threatened at King David. And at the same time, because of Saul's anxiety, his own fear, David provided comfort to Saul, playing his harp, musician that he was. David worked in Saul's court, but he still tended his father's sheep back and forth, palace to the pasture, serving the king. He was faithful, private faithfulness, long before public platform. David's three oldest brothers had joined Saul's army, and one day his father said, "Take this bread, this cheese, a little money, and go see how your brothers are doing." And so he did. At first light, he left the sheep in care of another. He gathered his supplies and he headed to the hills. And just as he arrived, Goliath stepped out with his usual antics. And David saw him firsthand, heard him firsthand. And what shocked David wasn't Goliath's demeanor, it was his defiance. Everyone else saw a giant. David heard an insult against the living God. Everyone else saw size. David saw blasphemy. To a man, the Israelite soldiers fled. They talked about how big Goliath was. They whispered about the reward for whoever would defeat him. And David cared less about the reward and more about the glory that was due God's name. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? We talked about Saul and Israel's armies. David is concerned about the armies of the living God. Deep in his heart, David knew this. An assault on the king's army was the same as an assault on the king himself. And he would have none of it. His oldest brother burned with anger, not at the Philistines, but at David. Jealousy, fear, maybe both. And I'm convinced the author put that in there to show us again why God rejected even David's older brothers and chose this young boy, because God looks at the heart. And David did not back down. Word reached Saul, who gave David an audience and said, "You're too young. Goliath has been fighting since before you were born. But youthful idealism turned into unwavering faith as David recounted the lion, the bear, sheep rescued, not one lost. The Lord who delivered me then will deliver me now. And Saul said, go, and may the Lord be ever in your favor. Saul offered David his armor, but it didn't fit, and we're not just talking physical, we're also talking spiritual. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, some in their armor, some in nationalistic, militaristic might, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. No matter what's going on in the world around us, we trust in him. And so David ditched the armor. He did not go as Saul. David went as David, and he went with the Lord, slingshot in hand, five smooth stones, stepped into that valley, and there between these two armies, this young shepherd faced this mighty good man with caps on his teeth. And he had his sling out as David is taunting. Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Goliath cursed David. But it was over before it all began. As David said, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Goliath moved forward, but David ran towards him, pulled a stone, slung it with his slingshot, and nailed Goliath in the forehead. The giant fell face down, and the writer is clear. David didn't have a sword, didn't have a spear, wasn't hiding behind any army. He took Goliath's sword and cut off his head, because that's what you did in the culture and time that David lived in. Undeniable proof the giant had fallen. And the Philistines, they tucked tail and ran. This is a masterpiece of biblical proportion. But it is not primarily a story about human courage. It is not even about just believe in yourself. You can do it. It is about the power of a deep and abiding faith in the one true God, because that is where the power comes from. His name is Jesus. Ronadive exploited what others often overlooked. David exploited what others feared, and the victory was not in the sling. It was in the name of the Lord our God. And David's victory was never meant to be the final one. Many years later, God would send another young hero to fight for his people. But this battle would not be in a valley. It would be on a hillside outside of Jerusalem. And the enemy wouldn't fall immediately. In fact, it would look like for just a moment, maybe the hero had fallen. Just as Israel once stood helpless before a giant, humanity stood helpless before sin, death, the powers of darkness, and just as David stepped forward to fight on behalf of his people, Jesus stepped down out of heaven. He stepped forward to fight for us, to die for us. And the crowd that was in front of him mocked him. His enemies jeered. Even his disciples scattered in fear. But the battle was never theirs to win. It was always the Lord's. And on the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead, assuring the victory that awaits all of us. He defeated sin and death. And here's the mystery of God's victory. What looked like defeat became the greatest triumph this world has ever known. The cross looked like weakness, but God turned it into victory. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. But until he does, Christ comes repeatedly by the proclamation of his word, through the power of his Holy Spirit, and the faithful presence of a holy people. That's you and me, men and women, marked by the presence of Christ inside of us, almost like Jesus is living his life, walking around in our very shoes. And that's what it means to be a Christian. Is he in you? That's how we fight our battles. They're not for us to fight on our own strength. They are his to fight. Church, until Christ comes again, we will face giants of fear and anxiety and shame and uncertainty, but we can do hard things. Even in the midst of what is unexpected, what seems hard, we can do these things because of the strength, power, and presence of a mighty God who lives inside of us, doesn't leave us to our own devices. And so, knowing full well what some of us are going through, knowing full well that all of us face different circumstances, and for some, it may be a grief that seems so fresh, so real, so new. For others, it may be the child whose health is marked by doubt and uncertainty, and we're praying for them to thrive. Some of us are waiting for God to provide the resources we need, not even talking financial, maybe even mental, maybe even physical, as our bodies fail us, our minds leave us questioning, doubting. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. So I want to ask you, knowing that we all have different things going on, what is the giant that you are facing this morning? And as you face it, where is God in all of this for you? How does the living of our lives, the facing of our circumstances, challenging as it may be, look any different than anyone else in the world who doesn't have the hope of the world living inside of us? His name is Jesus, and he is for you. He sees you, knows you, loves you, and the battle is his. So let's stop wasting time pretending we've got what it takes, because we don't. And he invites us to surrender and to receive everything he has for us. Lord God, I pray that you would move on your church in power so that you might get all the glory as we live out our days and face everything it is that we face in this world. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe peace into us. Give life to us, live your life in and through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us, and have a blessed week.